If you think there is a cost to following Jesus, have you ever thought about this? There is an infinitely worse cost to not following Jesus. Like when he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" You can bring it to normal day context. Why do you just go to church and do these things, but yet you're not obeying me? Why do you profess with one thing that you're with me and for me, but you're really not? Here's who you're like, John, if that's you. Put your name in there, if that's you. You're like a guy who's building a house and it's going to get crushed. And not only will it get crushed and decimated, but the ruin will be great.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. I invite you right now to take your Bible and join me in Luke chapter 9, looking at verses 23 through 26, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, "The Most Difficult Thing You Will Ever Do."
Father, as we come before you, we come with expectant hearts. We come with joyful hearts. Just what a glorious song we just sang. No matter if we're encouraged or discouraged today, that when we know the deep theological truth that our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Oh God, I pray that we would just press into you like never before right now. God, I pray that you would stir in our midst. I pray that as we draw that circle around just ourselves individually, and then we plead and we cry out for you to revive the person just in that circle. God, will you do that work? Will you bring individual revival and awakening and reformation to my heart and every heart that's here today so that we might go forth from this place to be on mission for your mission, to go make a difference for your praise, for your glory, that people would see Christ in us, the hope of glory, as the Word dwells in us richly. Oh God, we pray, would you fight for us, oh God. Do the work that only you can do as we decrease and you increase. And oh God, we'll be quick to give you all the praise. We'll be quick to give you all the glory. And oh God, we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus, who reigns victoriously today. And we're adopted as sons and daughters. We pray this in His name and His name only. And all God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, and for you that were in the first hour, if you are still in Luke 9, you're in a really good spot. For you that are not in Luke 9, you're in the wrong spot. So if you can get over to Luke chapter 9, we're picking up in verse 23. Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. And as you're turning there, I want to reiterate what revival is. And a revival, again, is not just a gathering. It's just not a series of meetings. But revival is when a mighty move of God shakes a people, shakes a person, shakes a church, shakes a culture, shakes a nation for His praise, for His glory. That's revival. We want to see awakening when we're awakened. We want to see reformation where we get back to God and His glory and the centrality of the gospel, to be God-centered, to be Christ-exalting, to be Bible-driven, to be prayer-saturated. Those are the people we want to be. As I mentioned before as well, just to recap, that every revival starts, every fire starts with one spark. The question is, will you be that spark? Is God right now in your life and in your challenges and the world that you operate in and the difficulties and the ups and the downs, the disappointments, of the losses seem to continue to pile up one after another after another? Is God speaking to you, speaking to me right now, saying, I want you to be the one to start the revival? Are you living in revival? Or are you living in rebellion? Often we get the R's confused. Are you living in revival? Or are you living in rebellion? We're either sowing for Christ or we're sowing against. We got to remember that the old truth and the old adage is so true that if we choose to ride the fence, Satan owns the fence. And here in this glorious text in Luke chapter 9, we're picking up in verse 23. And Jesus does not mince words here. When he says this, then he said to them all, who's he? Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, here we go, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now he begins to explain what he's talking about here in 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Sounds a little confusing. 25, he goes deeper. For what profit is it if a man, if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me, don't miss this, and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus speaks. The title to this message, and I pray you would write it down, and again, you're going to need something to write with here in this hour as well, and something to write on, but the title of the message is just simply this, and I believe this to be true, and I'm going to explain this, and I pray by God's anointing, I pray by the Holy Spirit's power, that we're going to be able to flesh this thought out together as we unpack the Scriptures and apply it to our lives. But the title is this, and I've come to this conclusion in my own brokenness, my own wickedness, my own frailty. Here's the title: the most difficult thing you will ever do. Write it down. The title for this message is the most difficult thing you will ever do. There are so many difficult things we do in life. And yet Jesus, right here in verse 23, as we think about this question, are we living in revival or are we living in rebellion? And we want to answer it honestly. Here's what Jesus says about living for Him. In verse 23, he says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus is throwing down, so to speak, isn't he? So many times in churchdom, we get this thought in our minds that if I just attend, if I'm just there, if I'm just doing, if I'm just external, doing this and doing that and doing this, that somehow that's going to get me into the graces of God. We come to this conclusion often that when you ask the question, what's it mean to be a disciple? And I hear this often. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? I go to church. Well, that's a good thing. But what's it mean to be a disciple? Well, I go to Sunday school. Okay, great. That's a good thing. But what does it mean to be a disciple? I think often, and you look at the research, when Barna came out and asked that question, he asked one group one question. He asked churchgoers, have you ever heard of the Great Commission? He asked churchgoers, have you ever heard of the Commission? It's just not great, it's the Commission. And by the way, it's not the Great Suggestion, right? It's not, hey, I'm getting around to it, if I feel like it, hey, if my ball team's losing, it might turn off the TV and then go do it. No, it really is the Great Commission. And he asked churchgoers. He asked the group the question, and out of the gate, 51% said they had no clue what it is. No clue. 25% said, yeah, we've heard of it, but we're not sure what it is or how to flesh it out. Translation, no. 6% said, not sure. Translation, no. Is God off His throne? Does God not have any more power? No, the reality is we're not living in revival. We're living so often in rebellion. And Jesus here just cuts to the chase. He says, it's not about the do this and do that. Here's what it's about. It's about a transformed heart. It's about a heart that we read there in 1 Samuel that He's not looking for our sacrifices. He's not looking for the external, although those are good. No, He wants a heart that's totally surrendered to Him, totally yielded to Him. Nothing's being held back. Here Jesus says, okay, He calls the crowds to Him. You want to come after Me? All right, here's how we're going to roll. Number one, out of the gate, you got to deny you. I'm convinced for a second that Jesus was standing there going, okay, I got three of these. I'm not sure which one to put first. Let me just juggle them in the air and see which one lands. No, I believe Jesus put deny yourself, deny Me first because He knows in His hypostatic union, fully man, fully God, yet without sin, He knows this clearly that the hardest thing that I will ever do is deny Me. Like, I'm having a good time with you today, but I'm going to cut to the chase. I'll deny you all day long, amen? But Me? Those are fighting words of the flesh, aren't they? Me? Moi? Because I'm the King, right? I'm the God of my life. That's what the world says, doesn't it? Jesus, see, He preaches a different gospel. He preaches the gospel. It's called the gospel according to Jesus. And He says, look, if you really want to come after Me, you've got to deny you. What does it mean to deny oneself? Think about that for a moment. What's it mean to deny? Well, it means this. It means to forget oneself and one's self-interest. It literally means to renounce my personal agenda. Now think about this. This one gets deep here. But I believe this to be emphatically true. Self-denial is at the heart of the gospel. You go, preacher, where are you going? Think about what Jesus modeled. There He is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the most pivotal night in history, and He says to those three clowns, hey, you come here, Peter, James, and John, and here, I got one assignment for you. Sit here and pray. Not once, not twice, three times, what are they doing? Man, they're asleep at the wheel, aren't they? I mean, they're like crossing those little stripes that you hit in the road, right? And they kind of buzz as you fall asleep. They are asleep at the wheel. And Jesus finally says, get up, rise up, wake up. My betrayer is at hand. See, and He's emphatically saying, we're going towards the mission. He denied Himself. We talk about all the time, He could have called 10,000 angels. Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to do this. It's the text says He went a little farther. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. That one verse, that one phrase will change the trajectory of your church and your home and your business and your team forever. If you get everyone on the same page, preaching and singing and loving the thought that not what I will, just what God wills, you can go shake the nations for His glory. You can go turn the world upside down. You can go make a difference. But it's going to be the most difficult thing you and I have ever done.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Think about this for a moment. You cannot be for you and be for Jesus at the same time. We must be intentional and urgent and desperate in crucifying the flesh. We must go to war against the flesh. We must be on an assault against our flesh. Because understand this, church family, we will never stumble into revival. We will never stumble into awakening. We will never stumble into reformation. We will never stumble into self-denial by accident. I can assure you. None of us are going to wake up one day going, man, I really want the best for everyone else and God and His glory. I have no idea how I got here. I just got here. How did I get here? That ain't happening in my flesh. It's got to take an intentional, focused effort by each one of us individually as we pursue revival. I was thinking through this thought, John Owen, one of my favorites. Any John Owen fans in the room? Puritan writer, Old English. Read one page and you're exhausted. You know what I'm talking about? John Owen, I love this. He says this, be killing sin or be killing you. Be killing sin or be killing you. You've heard of that thought, that phrase probably over the years, that if you try to manage your sin will begin to manage you. Do you see how important this is that Jesus is getting very, very dialed in here? Out of the gate, the first thing He says is, deny me, deny you. He's not mincing words. That's why in Matthew 12:30, write it down, Matthew 12:30. Matthew 12:30. Here's what He says. Again, Jesus is just being blunt. He says this, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. I don't think any of us today, if we're truthful, said, I can't wait to be against Jesus today. That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Man, I woke up this morning, I can't wait to be against Jesus. But how many times as I look at my own life, as I look at me, as I put myself under the microscope, how many times do I live as though I am against Him? As I fight for me and my rights and my agenda and what I want to do. And boy, it's so easy and subtle to succumb to that, isn't it? It's like the song says, it's a slow fade. No one ever gets there immediately. It takes typically time. And time is the great exposer of who we all really are. Time's the great exposer of who we all really are. That's why He says this next thought. He says, take up His cross daily. So we're building. Warning bells, newsflash, big announcement. Here it is. Let him deny himself, to forget oneself, one's self-interest, renounce one's rights and agenda, and now all of a sudden He goes deeper. Jesus says, take up His cross daily. Think about the cross. Think about the cross. And by the way, you don't want to miss tonight. I don't care what you got scheduled, cancel it, amen? All in the name of Jesus. You want to be here at 6 o'clock. Here's why. I believe with every fiber of my being, that there are going to be people that leave here tonight changed forever. I mean changed. And we're building. We're building on the first session. We're building now. And we're going to bring to a crescendo through God's Word for His fame, for His name, for His glory. As the Word goes forth of power, you want to be here. You want to invite family and friends, especially, here's a hint, you want to invite people that are dealing with a broken relationship. If you know someone, maybe you, maybe a son, daughter, if you know someone has a broken relationship, get them to the church house at 6 o'clock. God is going to speak in a powerful way because it's all about the cross. See, when Jesus says, take up your cross, this wasn't one of those deals where He's kind of like, all right, I need them to take up something and I don't have any idea what they should do. Let's just throw a cross in there. No, there's a method to this madness. You think about the cross and the brutality. I want you to picture right now, as we paint this picture, of the brutality of that Roman cross. As a prisoner is tortured. As they're brutally executed. It was a symbol of death, horrific death. And Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross how often? Once a week? Once a month? Bi-monthly? Once a year? Oh, I got it. On Christmas and Easter, amen? I knew the answer to that one. Silly me. What's he say? Take up his cross daily. See, Paul got this, didn't it? Paul said, I die how often? Daily, right? Galatians 2:20, a great verse. It's no longer I, but who? Christ. Do you see how all this looks away from self? And yes, it's the most difficult thing we'll ever do. How many of you in the room today, don't lie, you're in church, I'm going to hold you to it. How many, by a show of hands, how many of you in the church house today were born? Raise your hand, born. No, keep them high, keep them high. No, I want them really high, come on now. Two things, I've never seen so much hand raising in this church. That's amazing, look at that. And secondly, some of you are lying. Think about you were born. When you were born, when I was born, did they take you out of where you were born at there, and then they wheeled you right into the room that said, it's the next room over, of course, and it has a title that says how to be selfish, right? And they wheeled you to that room, and for the next hours they taught you how to be selfish. That's how it works, right? Well, that's not how this thing works. No one had to teach me how to be selfish. Man, I came out kicking and screaming, just ask my mom. I was kicking and screaming. Me. And then you grow up, and you think you're growing up, and you're 3 years old. You think you got it all figured out, 3 years old, right? 3, 4 years old, and there you are in the backyard playing there in the sandbox with Timmy, and we had those old Tonka trucks. Remember the old Tonka trucks back in the day? They made them out of metal. Man, those were great weapons to the boy you didn't like. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you kind of think, sorry, didn't mean to do that. Well, what'll happen? Well, for the next hour, I had the front axle and he had the back axle. And there was one four-letter word coming out of our mouth for the next hour. That next hour, what was that four-letter word? Mine. And we played row, row, row your boat for an hour till our arms fell off. No one had to teach me. No one has to teach you. It's part of this depraved flesh we have. We're our biggest cheerleaders. We fight for us. But Jesus has a different gospel. He has the gospel. He says, look, I want you to deny yourself, to renounce you. I want you to take up your cross. I want you to understand the extent of the denial. This is a daily, lifetime call. You don't get saved and then just sit down. Got that over with. Glad I got saved. Now I get back to my life. That's not how this works. If you're really saved, your life is no longer your own. Amen? Man, we've given everything to Him. And whatever He wants us to do, it's kind of like, here, Jesus, here's the blank sheet of paper. Here's the blank contract. We slide it across the table. There is no fine print at the bottom. We say, Jesus, you fill it out. That's my life. You fill it out. What do you want for your praise, for your glory? We know, number one, what He wants is for me to deny me. Number two, to take up my cross. Because the reality is that everyone has a cross that we do not want to bear and a cup that we do not want to drink. Every one of us. There's something in us that just fights and we war against it. Question. How far am I willing to take this denial? Ask yourself that. If God was to say this right now to you and to me, if God was to speak right now in this room to you, to me, if He said, look, here's the deal. I will bring revival to your church if you just do this. What will your answer be? If you really, John, if you deny yourself, if you take up your cross daily, I'm going to bring revival to your life. Ooh, it's kind of like, you're kind of going, oh, right, I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know, because it's a tug of war, isn't it? Boy, the world just pulls us in. That's what Paul said in Romans 12:1-2. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Don't be pressed into the world. The world is waiting with bated breath to press you in. The world sits there every day at your bedside. Ooh, I can't wait to press you in. Can't wait to mold you. We don't operate according to you. We take orders from King Jesus. We rest in the King. We've given everything. We're denying ourselves. We're taking up our cross. That's why Paul even said there again in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Write that down. 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says this, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Luke 6:46-49. Here's Jesus again. And again, he's not mincing words. Here's what he says, 46 of Luke 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Wow. I think he's serious. Look at 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Don't miss that. Chief cornerstone. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And don't miss this. And the ruin of that house was great. If you think there is a cost to following Jesus, have you ever thought about this? There's an infinitely worse cost to not following Jesus. Like when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You can bring it to normal day context. Why do you just go to church and do these things, but yet you're not obeying me? Why do you profess with one thing that you're with me and for me, but you're really not? Here's who you're like, John, if that's you. Put your name in there, if that's you. You're like a guy who's building a house and it's going to get crushed. And not only will it get crushed and decimated, but the ruin will be great. It's kind of like that song we sang, one of my favorites, by the way, I Surrender All. Do we sing that song and really mean it? Or if we're honest, do we sing I Surrender Some? Some to Jesus I surrender. Some to Him I freely give. I surrender some. I surrender some. Now, He doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.